Just so I don't forget.
Doesn't taste good to me anymore.
Always wondering if you got that the extra book out. The extra book.
Yeah, I got
Okay.
I'm sorry, what is it? Oops, one day or two. My bad. It's supposed to be sunny. Yeah. Could be. Hi.
Hey,
Hey.
Tom. Hey,
Hey.
Tim.
I'm not. Good to see you guys. Good to see you. Good to see the sun, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You went to Chicago a couple of weeks ago, right? Last week. Well, before Easter. Yeah. Kids all being okay.
Everybody feeling okay?
Yeah.
That's good. How about you guys?
Same here. I did talk to Judy and Thomas like a
Oh,
week
okay.
ago.
I was wondering how much.
He's doing okay. They thought he handled it. He came home. You all know
That's what I
that.
thought. Yeah.
Her health is working out. She is there back in, well, she wants to come to church, but Sunday is the only day they don't have help.
Oh.
They have help all the other days, so she's really, can't handle him by herself anymore. She's kind of like this. She thinks it's doing all right. Hi,
Morning,
Jane.
Jeannie.
Don't want to talk.
Oh.
I didn't make this one. No.
Okay.
I haven't gone to these groups yet.
It's over.
Well, you know what? I hate to say that. It sounds really lazy, but Saturday mornings, I love Saturday mornings on my porch, coffee, and relaxing, and be somewhere at 8:30.
I agree.
But it's just because, I even said something about maybe, because it's not my deal, so I have not been for
Well, the mentor meeting is the same time too. 8:30.
But they don't have to be at the same time again.
No, they don't have to. No,
I
they
can
can go
help them
on
tell you
Skype
if that's not us. Yes.
or the building's all
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
Mentor meeting.
Yeah. It's
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
that's true.
true.
I didn't think about that. Just holding and
Yes.
maybe in the summer I won't mind getting out early, like winter. Winter's really hard to get up and get out early, isn't it? I didn't think that. Yeah, I don't make it sometimes.
Okay, we're ready to get started. Morning, y'all.
Morning.
All of you who are live and in person, and all of you who are electronically connected. So let's take a moment to ground and center ourselves. Become aware of our connection to one another. And really our connection with all beings. No matter what the appearance might be on the outside, we are all working towards oneness, wholeness, completeness, forgiveness, freedom. And we can be so grateful this day that we have an expanded ways and means of being able to accomplish our soul's purpose. Not everybody is blessed with that awareness yet. For some, the tools that they have are very, very limited. We're going to begin on page 237. And unless anybody has anything they'd like to explore before we get started on the book, please feel free to chime in. So welcome all of you on this bright Sunday morning. So nice to see the sun and to see you and the sunshine you bring with you. Page 237, I'm working on some questions that the guides are answering. If you're familiar with any of Paul's workshops or talks, usually at the end of a talk, there's space and time for people to ask, call in questions that they might have of the guides. So they print some of this material in the books as well. This question says, the small self can't figure it out. And my question was, can you help me become more clear about my lesson now? Is that the small self trying to figure it out? The guides never answer with a yes or a no. Ask the divine self because she knows. Is this limited truth or unlimited truth? Does it open my heart? Does it close my heart? Does it cause me to think more or be more? Is it a closed circuit or an open one? Do you understand this? We've taught this many times. When people come to Paul and they say, what is my work? Why am I here? We always say that the divine self will call it into being once they begin to align to her. Now, that idea of alignment is a little bit foreign to me, at least it was. So I had to sit with that and try and discover what they're really talking about when they say aligning to divine self. And what came to me was that if someone were to say to you, and really mean it, I love you, that would be nice, warm, fuzzy. You wouldn't have to argue with it. You could know it was true. But to really experience that love coming to you from another being, you have to get into a mindset of aligning yourself with the energy of being loved. So it's not just a thought, it's not just an idea, it's not just something implanted in your brain, it's not just a word you hear or a couple of words that you hear. It is actually literally aligning yourself with the energy of being loved. And that changes the whole picture. Changes from a thought, an idea, or even an emotion or a feeling to something that touches you or teaches you a lot more deeply than just the words might. So when it says here, we always say that the divine self will call it into being once they begin to align to their divine self. You already know. You think you don't, but you already know. What is my work? Why am I here? We always say that the divine self will call it into being once they begin to align to her. The claim, not the words, the claiming of the energy, the aligning yourself to the energy. I know who I am, what I am, how I serve, implies that the service, excuse me, implies that the service is a product of being. In other words, service flows from knowing who you are. You are in service in this moment. Unless you come in here and you're totally locked in and say, well, I'm going to figure this out for myself. Once you realize that you are opening yourself up to divine spirit, to divine self, you know that that touches you, but it touches everyone else at the same time. Can't be isolated. There's nothing exclusive about this. It's like saying, well, I got mine, you get yours. The claim, I know who I am, what I am, how I serve, implies that the service is a product of being. What you require to know to progress must be granted to you in order to progress, but it rarely comes from trying to figure it out. Figuring it out is the mind, is the brain working on its own limited scope. When I open myself up to a deeper reality, I choose to do that. How did Emily Cady put it? God, I don't know the answer, you do, show me. And when I say that, I don't enter into that idea with a preconceived notion about what that's going to look like. Well, God's going to show me and it's going to look like this. For God's going to show me, it's going to look like this. I've got to be open to be being shown whatever that is that I'm looking for in a way that my mind might not be able to even comprehend. So try and let go of, I'm working on this one too, trying to let go of my preconceived notions of how I think it's supposed to show up. Progress must be granted to you in order to progress. It sounds like spiritual double talk. But what it's saying essentially is that knowing, in this sense, comes from an act of surrender to a knowledge or a knowing that is higher than what my consciousness might be able to reveal to me. It's a higher knowing. How do you know? How do you know that you know? And again, they chime in by saying, we're not ignoring the thinking mind, we're not throwing that away. It's part of your vehicle here, it's part of your learning. Now, we don't discount the mind. If you are learning a new recipe in the kitchen, you hold the book before you. You test it out. You touch it. You taste it. You affirm it by eating it. You decide if it's what you want. That's a process of the intellect. and a very necessary one if you, let's say, if you're trying out a new recipe. But knowing what you need, I need to know myself and my worth, will call to you the requirements of those things. I need to know myself and my worth. It's like when you pray for patience, what do you get? Okay. You get all kinds of stuff that makes you learn patience. And my little self says, well, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I bargained for. I want it, and I want it now. But the divine consciousness, the higher self says, that's all very nice, but you can't, what you're asking for, you can't learn that way. You don't learn patience through your lower consciousness. Patience is a virtue or an aspect of higher consciousness that you can only learn with and through your connection or your alignment with higher consciousness. It's not that it's wrong or bad, it's just limited. And if you're trying to get, if you're trying to get something that you can only get through your higher consciousness, if you're trying to get that through your lower consciousness, all you're going to get is frustration. It's just not going to work. It's not that you're doing it wrong. It's just that you're working with a limited tool. I need to know myself and my worth. Will call to you the requirements of those things. So you're going to come face to face with your not enoughness. You're going to come face to face with your self-judgment. You're going to come face to face with all of those things that are getting in the way of you loving or caring about yourself the way you truly need to. You will call to yourself the requirements of those things. And so it's important to be able to recognize that. And when something shows up in my life, especially that's difficult or that I have to wrestle with, it might be helpful for me to remember that I created that situation because I asked for that learning. Now, when we say, when you know you are not thinking, let me say that again. When you know you are not thinking, we are not discounting thinking, but we are telling you very simply that you will never know a damn thing by thinking. At least not in higher consciousness. When you know, you are in alignment with knowing, and there are no questions attached. Do you understand? Thank you for the questions. When you know, you are in alignment with knowing, and there are no questions attached. We covered something similar to this last Tuesday, but I'm not going to try and get totally befuddled or mixed up with that. But when you know that you know. Robert Heinlein, in a science fiction book called Stranger in a Strange Land, made up a word. And the word was grok, G-R-O-K. When you grok something, it becomes a part of you. So, for instance, if I align myself to being loved, it's not just an intellectual understanding, it's not just an emotion or a feeling, it's an experience that I am connected with. When I grok something, when you let's suppose you pluck a rose from a bush and you get stuck with a thorn and it hurts and it bleeds and you can smell the rose at the same time and it looks beautiful and it smells beautiful and you're coming at this connection to this rose through your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual state of consciousness, everything. So it doesn't become, it's not just a rose anymore. It's an experience of roseness, and you are a part of that. The thorn, as well as the odor, as well as the color, as well as the shape, as well as the feel, you become one with that which you are learning from. It is no longer just a rose, something outside of you. It's actually touching something inside of you. I know that rose. I'm not whether you're sure whether you're familiar with it, but the little kids book for adults called Little Prince. One of the things on Little Prince's planet where he came from was one rose. It was very special. They took very, very good care of. And this rose told him, I am unique in all the world. When he came to Earth, one of the first things he bumped into was a rose bush. It was full of hundreds of roses. And he thought to himself, my rose would be very angry and very disappointed because she's not unique in all the world. But then again, she is. Because these are just roses. I haven't made the kind of connection I've made with my rose on my planet. The rose on my planet is unique in all the world. These are not that because I haven't experienced. They're just a rose bush over here. They're not part of me right now. They might be at some time or another. But there's such a difference between my rose and my connection with my rose and this wonderful bush over here. Two very, very different things. When you grok something, you know it completely. You know it in your being. Music is like that. You can't explain that. I remember the first time I listened to, I was a folkie. I was an old hippie or young hippie back in those days. Folk music and rock and roll were music. Classical music was not music. That was for sissies. That wasn't for me. And I remember somebody convinced me, I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this piece of music with headphones on. And just tell me what you experienced after you've done that. I said, okay. So I went to our library, the Brothers Library, and they had one turntable with a set of earphones. And they gave me, hello. Somebody might need to mute themselves. And the guy gave me a recording, a record. And it was the Emperor Concerto of Beethoven. So I put it on and starts dun, 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 dun. And I get sucked into this thing. And I'm in this sort of state of ecstasy. I'd never heard anything like that before. I couldn't explain what was going on, but I was one with the music. I grokked it. And I told my friend about it. We weren't familiar with that. I think I might have been familiar with that word at that time, but he wasn't. I said, now I know what you're talking about. It became part of me. And a part of me that it will always remain a part of me. That first experience will always remain a part of me. When you know who you are in alignment with knowing, and there are no questions attached. You're not trying to prove it any further. You just know. How do I know that I am loved? I can't prove that to you. I know it as being the truth. Next question. Unless anybody has a question about that one.
Jerry, I have a comment.
Yeah.
So, many of you know that I recently left a position with an organization, and I'll leave the organization unnamed for the time being. But what was interesting was, there were times when I worked there that I was so fulfilled. And the way I think of it, and I love Grok. I've read everything Robert Heinlein ever wrote. But the way I think about it is dancing with what I'm doing or dancing with whatever I'm engaged in. And I did some incredible things when I was with that organization. However, over the last few years, I had been boxed in to a situation where I really didn't like going to work anymore. I didn't like, the energy was wrong and I was trapped. And yet when I was part of 450 something people who were let go, you know, I grieved. However, and I immediately began to look for a new job. And it was an interesting experience for a while. And there was a lot of stress involved with that. But I am now letting it go. And here's why, I think. I've got a master's degree in organizational performance and workplace learning in 2017. During the years that I worked on that master's degree, I loved my job. I loved what I was doing. It was fascinating. It was wonderful. I was learning. I was growing. I was the rose growing in the garden. And, but, you know, again, over the last couple of years, I've been boxed in and could not do what I do. I could not dance. I had to stand still and at attention. And well, I went back and started looking at the professional organizations. I've been a member for up since, I don't know, 1980 or something, and both of them. And they both offered certifications and training courses that I could take for free. So I started taking some of those. And I was dancing again with my profession. And then I've now invested in a couple of certifications, so I'm working on those. And I'm dancing again. I am so in love with my profession. I'm so in love with my life. This is just, now, eventually I'm going to have to get a job. Okay, that's fine. But I trust that in that job, I will be able to dance with what I am learning, with what I am experiencing. I am just, to me, that's really what these last few paragraphs have been talking about, is letting go of the fear and just getting into, you know, what we are meant to do. I've always felt that I was meant to be in the area of training and performance improvement. And I am just, it is so exciting. Every day I just look forward to getting up again. And so anyway, I just thought I would share that because I think that it fits in with what we've just been talking about.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, John. I was very much reminded of when Bill Moyers was doing a group of specials exploring the world's religions. And he was talking to a Shinto priest from Japan. And he said, "Now, what do you guys believe?" And the Shinto priest just got really quiet. He said, "I'm not sure whether we believe anything. We dance." Oh, what a magic moment that was. I'm not sure what we believe, but we dance. Nothing else was needed. There were no more questions. We dance. Thank you, John. That's beautiful. I'm happy for you. Next question. The guides are talking about God or the divine as being unable to be hurt. Am I hearing this correctly? I am being derailed by a doctrine that tells me that when we do anything wrong, we hurt God. Maybe some of us grew up with that. If I was a teacher of this doctrine, I've led a whole lot of people down a wrong path. Is this the case? And how do I correct that? And am I required to correct that? Do you notice some of the fear and guilt that's connected with the question? Not bad, but where that's coming from.
Jerry?
Yes.
Remark about what John had just talked about and our teachings. Shouldn't we be able to just dance, period? Doesn't that kind of mean being where we're at the moment with whatever is going on and feel like you are dancing with it, being with?
I would agree.
That's my question.
No, I think that's a great observation. I was thinking again of, when I'm listening, my mind's always working too, so it's making its own
yes.
connections.
It's true, yes.
But one of the things I thought of was, as I was listening to you, Paul, it was in the Old Testament, David danced before the Ark of the Covenant. Danced. He didn't fall down on his knees in worship. He danced. And that was pleasing to the Lord.
Yeah, just think if every situation, and I'm not saying I do this because I don't, I can't grasp it, but if every situation that came into our life to have to, as we get new things, tomorrow morning you may wake up, John, and there'll be a whole new set of circumstances going on in your life. Can we feel that same type of joy in dancing with that situation in that moment of whatever our life brings? That almost feels like what my spiritual practice is truly all about, learning to dance with the present moment.
Sounds good to me. Thank you, Paula.
Rabbi
Das tells this story of being talking to an abbot in a Benedictine monastery. And Ram Dass said, Father, I have one question to ask you. Why did Judas kiss Jesus right before the agony, or right after the agony in the garden? Without missing a beat, the abbot looked at him and smiled and said, because it's part of the dance. And they both got up at the same time and just hugged one another. It's part of the dance. What would it be like, as Paula was suggesting, that anything that shows up in my life right now is part of the dance? Right now, this is part of the dance. 5 minutes from now is part of the dance.
Jerry?
Yo.
Just kind of piggybacking on what John and Paula said, something came to me. Well, you know, it was for me. Okay, so there's no coincidence, and it just was such an aha. And so, in terms of learning to dance, what came to me was making peace with my past. And that just so resonated with me in terms of making peace with my past. And then what just came to me just now is that right here, right now, everything is as it should be. It may not, in my humanness, it may not feel like it does, but getting out of that head and going into my heart that everything is as it should be, this, that, and the other thing, and just learning to dance with whatever it is. So thank you.
Dancing with what is. You're not going to forget that one.
Dancing with what was.
Pardon me?
dancing with what was.
And when dancing with what was.
That's good.
Oh, yes. That's really good.
Thank
it's
you.
It's a book in the making. Get to it, Jerry.
Jerry. Now listen to what the guys have to say about that. You notice what we started off with. We started off with this question about, you know, did I lead people in the wrong direction? And got a sense or a taste of guilt and fear connected with that. The guides bypass the guilt and the fear. You are required to know the self differently. I could see peace instead of this. I could see this differently. You are accountable to all your acts. There are answers to every question, but often not until they are asked. When you know yourself as the one harming another, you are never acting in an awareness of your own divinity. Wow. Take that one again. When you know yourself as the one harming another, you are never acting in an awareness of your own divinity. You could not act that way and know yourself as divine. When you harm another, in fact, you harm yourself, because the negation of God within you is the penalty you pay. Simply put, it was a line from a song I wrote a couple of years ago about darkness. If you keep your brother in the dark, you cannot see the light. So if I put anybody else in the dark, I'm putting myself there as well. Not on purpose, obviously, but that's just the nature of the beast. You can't hold your brother in the light and expect to see the light. In the dark, expect to see the light.
Hey,
you cannot act that way and know yourself as divine. When you harm another, in fact, you harm yourself, because the negation of God within you is the penalty you pay. In Buddhism, the golden rule looks like this. Buddha said, see yourself in others, who then shall you harm? See yourself in others, who then shall you harm? Or see your grandson in others, who then shall you harm? Let's suppose I have some animosity or anger towards another human being. But my prayer is, let me see my grandson in this person. Who then shall you harm? Do you understand this? Now, it can be rectified by the awareness of the divine. It is never rectified by deciding you are a sinner and outside of God. Now, the Christ as you, or the divine as you, knows who she is. She is there in the darkest night. She is also there when you have shut the door to her expression. Isn't that interesting? The Christ as you, or the divine as you, knows who she is. She's still there in the darkest night. She's also there when you have shut the door to her expression. When you shut the door to her expression, you act in fear. When you act in fear, you call to you the very things that fear calls to you. But are you loved by the Creator even in that act of foolishness? Of course you are, because God cannot not love. Do you understand this? There is a vast mistake here. Mankind harms herself. He harms himself and others. The divine could not harm. The divine could not not care. But it cannot fix you or intercede without your alignment or your willingness to know differently than you do. If you are justified in your act of hatred or in forgiveness of another, you have cut yourself off and have not been cut off, and only cut off from your own expression of alignment to what is always present. You have cut yourself off, but have not been cut off. In other words, this is where you think you're separate, but you're not. You never can be. Even if you're thinking you're separate, it doesn't mean you are. Thoughts and feelings cannot separate you from the truth.
Hey, Jerry?
Yes.
Just quick. So in hearing that, we've heard that, please, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But I've had like an addendum to that for me. Please, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do to themselves.
Yeah.
Exactly, Jim.
And I don't have to give them power over me that somehow or another they can take something from me, because they can't. How can I dance with someone I can't stand?
Well, you can.
Can I? Maybe at a distance. Maybe it starts off by putting them on the other side of the room. I'll dance over here, you dance over there. To start. This is the teaching of forgiveness and why you must forgive. When you don't forgive, you trespass upon the true self, not on the other. He could often care less what you think about him or her. He could often care less what you think about him or her. You are the one being harmed because you are losing your own alignment that is always present. You're always loved, regardless of whether or not you know it. And the Creator is in everything, regardless of whether or not you can perceive it. And we've talked about that one before, again and again. If God is all, it is all things. To be in alignment means to be in awareness and expression of it, whether or not you know yourself as spiritual or even believe in God. You can be in a very high alignment to all that is and deny God because you call it something other. God could care less what you call it. The vocabulary is incidental. Call it the sky, call it the truth, call it love, call it that it may be known. That is entirely up to you. But any doctrine that teaches you hell is a doctrine based in fear. Hell is what it feels like to be in the absence of knowing of the Christ itself, or the divine self, or the true self. Let me say that again. Hell is what it feels like to be in the absence of the knowing of the Christ itself, or the divine self, or the true self. It is not a place you go to. It is a level of consciousness that you have agreed to that can be transformed by the alignment to the divine self and by an awareness that God loves everyone and everything, even you, and even the one you can't stand. When you know that is so for the one you can't stand, you are doing very, very well. Thank you for the fine question. We will continue. When you know that is so for the one you can't stand, you are doing very, very well.
That's a stretch. That's a stretch in my human mind, but the thing is, what you always have said, Jerry, the word, that big W word, willingness. I know it's a stretch, but I'm willing.
And that's, I was going to say that's the best we can do, but it's even more than that. That's the first step. The first step in the dance is willingness. I am willing to see you differently. I don't right now. I don't know how it's possible for me to even see you differently. or possible for me to dance with you, but I am willing. I'm opening myself up to the possibility that at some time in the future, whether near or far away, that I will be able to look at you in the, straight in the eye and say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I see the Christ in you. I don't have a clue about how that's going to happen. I can't perceive. I can't perceive it happening right now, but I am open to the possibility, and I am willing to see you differently than the way I see you now. It all starts right there. Thank you for reminding me of that, Jim. I'm going to need to leave a little bit early because I've got double duty at the sanctuary, so we're going to do our meditation, and it might be a little bit longer than usual. So I'm going to ask you to put your stuff down for a while. Take a few deep breaths. Soften yourself. Allow yourself to experience flowing from your mind, flowing from your thoughts to your heart. Thinking, loving. Thinking, loving. Thinking, loving. Moving from thinking to loving. From my mind to my heart. My mind doesn't disappear. It's still doing what minds do. But my focus is on my ability and my beingness to love in this moment and to be loved in this moment. And so I breathe into that heart space. And I allow it to expand. And I realize that my heart is dancing, because it always does. And it's a never-ending dance. Of loosening, tightening, loosening, tightening. Neither one is ever empty. The beating of the heart, the rhythm of life. Foot is off the ground, foot is on the ground. And imagine or sense or feel what it would be like. And let that energy of love begin to touch all the children of the world, especially the children in Haiti, in Ukraine, in Gaza. Don't shut it down, let it dance. You can't understand it, but you can let it dance. And as I open myself up to all the children of the world, if I choose to, I open myself up to all those who feel or experience their loss. Those who are experiencing themselves as being hopeless or helpless. that I hold them in love, I hold them in light. All those who are living in fear, all those who are holding on to the impossibility that things might change, I hold them in love. And then I come back to myself for another moment. And I hold myself in love. Both giving and receiving. The heartbeat, giving, receiving, giving, receiving. I give, I receive, I give, I receive. And before we close this morning, I allow myself to be open to one other human being on this planet who needs my love in this moment. And I'm letting him or her come to me. And I allow him or her to be in that space of giving and receiving love. And I am grateful for these gifts. Deep breath. The connection still exists. Giving and receiving. When you're ready to, you can breathe another breath deeply, stretch a bit, open your eyes. Thank you all for your sharing this morning. Thank you all for being here. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll see you again soon.
Keep dancing, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Keep dancing.
Everyone, have a wonderful week.
Keep dancing.
Keep dancing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jerry.
Keep grocking. Keep dancing.